Yeah, it's how many of these persimmons can you have I eaten at a time, max, or my record? I don't know. Of the big ones, if we're talking about those big ones.
More than
Six,
10, more than 10.
seven, something like that. I no, probably no, that's a lot. That's
That's a lot.
especially if you're eating something else. Afterward, it's like, okay, no, hold on. I'll leave a little bit of room. If I'm just monomealing on persimmons, though, yeah, it could be around there, spread throughout the day. Yeah, I mean, it could be around there, or at least spread over the course of like whatever, 2 hours or something like
So how many?
that. Yeah. Under 10, under 10.
Okay.
Under 100.
If I would go mono, I could eat 20 in a day, no problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, in a day. Yeah. In
Yeah.
a day. Yeah. In a day, you could probably
Not
pack
in
away
one yeah.
in one sitting. Yeah. I'm talking about like one meal window,
One meal, it's like seven, eight. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They're so good. Oh my goodness. It's so good. That's the thing. You eat, if you have a plan for the day, like what you want to eat, and you start with persimmons, you'll just keep going. It's like, yeah, no, I'm losing interest slowly in everything else that I had planned for the rest of the day.
True,
How you
true.
doing? Sorry. How you doing, Alex? Thank you so much for having me today.
No, it's good. It's very, very organic conversation. I was actually in Germany quite recently, and I feel like it was an amazing discovery because we don't have them so much in Bali, and but we have a lot of amazing stuff in Bali. But it was a nice discovery to be in w winter in Europe and to have that fruit that tastes pretty exotic. Actually, it tastes like, yeah, something in the tropics, you
Oh yeah. When it's ripe and it's soft, it's like
know.
something. That's just something. It's something else. Amazing.
Yeah, so thank you, Eli, for coming back. We won't introduce you again because I think people who follow my channel really know you by now. And yeah, so we're gonna do an hour talking about persimmons. I'm joking. But yeah, we'll do a Q&A today. We have Zizi and Shari who have joined us. So yeah, I'm happy to keep it organic and roll and do an hour together. Thank you so much for joining us again, Eli. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. No, pleasure's all mine, man. Yeah, always happy to come chat with you guys.
Oh, cool. Okay, I'll start. I know you have persimmons, but don't you want to come and live in the tropics?
Short answer, yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I always kind of say, but I think at some point that's going to be in the cards, right? That's going to be in my fate somewhere. It's just, yeah, end up moving to the tropic. The quality, you just really can't beat the food quality when stuff is growing fresh and local, and in the tropics where you have different variety of stuff that's growing here locally, obviously. So yeah, I think someday that's going to be where it's at.
Hey, Shari, quick question. Is there a reason why you have two accounts, or can I remove the blanked one?
Oh,
Just for the
double
order.
The other one's just my phone. I might need to run down to the kitchen to do some like stuff. It's like 8:45 a.m.
Okay, let's skip it.
So
Let's not do
it's just my phone. It's not anything weird. It's just in case I need to step away from my laptop, I'll just listen on
it.
my phone. All
Okay.
right. Nice. How you doing, Sherry? I'm good. I make jewelry, so if I look down, it's because I'm beading right now. It's my Oh, nice. part-time hobby thing. But I'm good. It's nice to meet you, Eli. I've watched many of your videos on YouTube. Oh, well, I'm glad. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm thankful for your attention. I'm a big fan of well, not a big fan, but I was really researching into breatharianism, so I had watched the whole series you did with Genesis, which was fascinating. So much I learned because it was so realistic, because a lot of times it's so mystical and they make it seem like
literally you're like not eating it, but he was so realistic about it. So I there was a little bit of people saying stuff that I think maybe isn't so real. That
Sure,
was
sure.
nice to hear that, you know, like real life experience or whatever.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from him, and and we chat. We always talk. Like, I do want to get him back on the channel, and actually soon. I'd like to get him on soon because it's been a while. Just update us, maybe talk about some more stuff. But yeah, I've learned a lot from him, and yeah, he has a very, like you said, he's just a very down to earth approach for dealing with those types of things that can very easily be overly mystified. And it's like, there's more magic locked in your body than we know what to do with, really. And some of that potential, it's still there, it's still dormant. And I think that when we get into those things like breatharianism, it's like our body does a lot more work and picks up a lot of slack, probably just more than we're accustomed to. Of course, you can't discount the power of the mind over matter. That's definitely a thing, and we see examples of that scattered throughout all human history. So there is something to be said there too. There's like a missing element that we haven't unlocked yet about how our mind can just control our bodies in ways that we're not yet familiar with. So we always have to acknowledge that that is a thing too. But I think for the most part that with people that are experimenting with this, yeah, it's probably more the body intelligence, like the godliness of your internal intelligence kind of just taking over and doing its thing in a conjunction with what conditions you're imposing on it, right? And then nature takes over, configures some stuff, and lets you have this boundless efficiency, and it just feels amazing, right? So yeah, it's a very interesting topic, and yeah, I've definitely learned a lot from him. Hopefully get him back on the show soon.
Yeah, the first time I'd ever heard about it was I had did some training with David Wolf, and that's where I learned about Arnold Arendt and got into this whole world. And it's just a question that's been in my life, which I think we're all trying to answer, is how much food do we actually need? Because I finally worked out that like there's a lot of commercial interest, like 6 meals a day plus snacks, get your protein, you know? And so I feel like I'm constantly battling between all that. My mom is a nutritionist, like the regular kind. So like brown bread is better than white bread, and like like whole grain oats with eggs, you know, she's like the regular nutritionist. So for me it's this constant just like the learning, the relearning, even to understand that is just how much do we really need, you know? So
Yeah, you got to combine this with that, to increase the absorption of this. You have to eat that with this because they complete each other. All this, all the heady intellectual stuff. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean though, where we're talking about, okay, how much do we actually need? This is a question I don't think anybody has really, truly gets. Namely, because I don't know if we're supposed to get it, right? It's not something that really comes intuitive to your intuitive, God-given physical senses, right? The physicalized senses. We have a whole set of senses that are non-physical, right? That through work and training and a kind of esoteric practice that can be developed as well. But I'm talking about the physical senses, okay? So if we're just talking about our animal selves or physical bodies, yeah, then we don't really have a good sense that makes the microscopic nutritional world forthcoming to us. And it's just nature's supposed to be just doing that on autopilot, right? It's because it's like, nah, your conscious mind isn't ready to be aware of all of this stuff. Leave that in Mama Nature's hands for now, for your level of development. If you grow later on and evolve, maybe we'll gift you some conscious control over what's happening. But as of right now, we don't really have good awareness of that. And so it's just, you know, I can't help but thinking maybe it's just easier to not think about that and just to worry about the stuff that we really do have access to. And typically, if you do that, you're going to be making far less errors than when you do import a lot of headiness into structuring your diet. Like when you put that first, when all the, like you said, the nutritionist putting all the heady stuff first and basing your diet off of that, I think you need to switch the order up. I think you need to go intuitive, natural, what comes as just a default byproduct of your senses and action. And then you use the science, the heady, introspective, you know, reductionist type of approach. Reductionist type of analytical approach. You use that after the fact to supplement what is natural and intuitive and obvious, you know, in terms of your God-given senses. And that is where science can really, really ignite your understanding. But it's only if you premise yourself and base yourself in a foundation of natural truth and natural law, then the supplementation becomes something wonderful. But if you put the cart before the horse, you're floating all over the place, new concepts change your mind, you know, one week you're doing this, another week you're doing that. Like that's kind of what happens. You don't have a foundation, right? So you need that foundation, and then you can let all of the others supplementary material enhance and broaden your, you know, your understanding, I think.
Yeah. If I could make a counter argument to that, though, my only comment would be that I do feel that our instincts almost we can't trust when we've literally been indoctrinated in like the whole processed food thing. Because I find my instincts, I have to listen to people like you guys and, you know, to really know what's optimal. Like the whole argument, I'm not a fruitarian, but the whole argument of fruitarianism is that we're actually fruit eating species or whatever. But if you go to like some kind of medical system, they won't tell you that. Like, no, we're omnivores, you know? So I just feel, I feel like the system is so designed to brainwash you that I don't know if everyone's instincts would be to eat fruit. Maybe their instincts would be to want like a cheese pizza or something.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's I feel like it's hard.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, believe me, there's no contradiction between what I just said and what you just relayed, right? These two harmonize. And you're absolutely right, right? That's the problem. It's because the dietary culture that has been erected as the default state of modern eating, okay? That's the problem, is it's designed to do exactly that. It's designed to pull you away from your nature, and so that can be confusing. Like the flesh can be fooled, like the physical senses, those can be very easily fooled. They can be hijacked. I use that term often, hijacked, right? They can be hijacked by food substances and even natural foods, right? But just the wrong types of foods that are processed in a way to make them hyper palatable, right? That's a word that people should be familiar with, like have on the tip of their tongue, right? Anytime they're processing something that can't really be used as food, what you're doing is you're making it hyper palatable, where under normal circumstances it wouldn't be. And so yeah, the flesh gets fooled. So like you said, yes, for most people, they can't trust their senses right off the bat, right? In order to trust, and this is something that I've talked about in previous lectures, trusting your senses is a privilege that has to be earned. Because prior to marshalling, right, prior to cleansing, prior to resensitizing of your palate, you're exactly right. Your senses can't be trusted. But that doesn't invalidate the rule. That doesn't invalidate the truth, right, of your senses lead you to what is most correct. right? That's a law that's always in operation. It's just that our past behaviors, our past indiscretions, our past dietary sins add layer upon layer upon layer of obfuscation between us and what our senses are truly saying. So it's almost like a loudspeaker that someone's thrown a whole bunch of towels over, right? Layer, just all the towels and garbage and whatever. Right? So that's tantamount to our past indiscretions, our previous lifestyle that just is loading our systems with nonsense. So that nonsense needs to, excuse the term, that nonsense needs to get fumigated out of your system before you have channels, energetic channels, metabolic channels that are clean enough to reliably convey and conduct the appropriate signals. But until that happens, you're correct. You can't. Your senses will mislead you if they're still under the influence, under the delusion of the power of these non-food-like substances that hijack our common sense sensibilities. Okay. So yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But that doesn't change the underlying plan, natural plan that's inherent. It locked away in your body. It's always there. It's always operating, but it's just that our minds and our culture gets in the way. That's all that's happening. Yeah. So no contradiction there. It's just a good point. It's a good piece of information to add to the discussion so people are aware of the fact that you can't just, you know, from a standard American diet say, yeah, I heard that I should lead with my senses. Okay, off to Pizza Hut we go, right? Yeah, you can't do that. You need to there needs to be a disciplined marshalling of your senses first, and the cleansing of the temple first, before you have earned the privilege of relying on your senses to lead you to, right? Otherwise it's all messed up.
Can I add something here?
Please do. Yeah,
because my view on this is that your instinct or your intuition won't go for the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
This is only compulsive behavior, because we are so programmed, and we react on things. That means that we are not responsible. We don't have ability to respond. So we are, because these are programs, and these programs are yours, but are from your, maybe from your mother, maybe from your father, maybe from one of the school, and these are so limited. And these are the problems that we have to change it and have unlimited. And your instinct, your intuition will go with the fruits, not with the pizza.
That's right. Yeah, that's
the parasite. The parasites will go for the pizza.
That's a great point. Actually, some of the ingredients of that pizza, not even the friggin' parasites will go after. The stuff will just sit there on your counter forever. Bacteria won't even touch the stuff, right? How the hell are you supposed to digest it?
That's right. I saw the video of the McDonald's burger that he left burger in his suit, and after 1 year it was the same. It was the same. He left the suit in the closet, and there was
unreal.
The same.
Oh, sorry, I cut you off.
No, I just mentioned.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not a food.
It's ridiculous. When I moved into my current residence, this is like just over 10 years ago, about 11 years ago. My brother came to live with me for a little bit because he was also in the midst of a move. So we were living together for a while, and so he brought a bunch of stuff into my house, into the cupboard and the refrigerator while he was living with me. And so once he moved out, there were a couple of things that were just in the pantry that I just never really touched. And so they just sat there and sat there and sat there. So like 6 years later, something stupid, an obscene amount of time later, I went to the pantry and I'm like, why do I was so used to seeing it, but I just never cleaned it out. I'm like, why am I keeping this Nutella in the pantry? I don't know if you guys, Nutella, you guys are familiar with Nutella? Okay. So I pull out this Nutella. I'm like, why do I keep this here? I'm throwing this out. I open it up just to see. The stuff was fresh, like fresh. It smelled exactly like new store-bought Nutella that I remember when I was a kid. I'm like, oh my God, this stuff is as fresh as anything, right? It doesn't degrade. You can't imagine how difficult your system, the difficulty your system would have in trying to break down something with no actual living enzymes that do the breakdown on their own, right? That's what makes raw food so wonderful in your system, is that you free up your body from having to find a way to digest, to use its own resources, its own enzymes to break down stuff that doesn't have any of its own. But if it's got its own already, well, that process, it gets to work even without any input from your actual physical biochemistry, right? So yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible, this stuff. It's not food. It's just this, it's this physiological lie. Most conventional food is just, it's this lie. And I think people don't realize how often they're being physiologically lied to with items in their diet that they mistake as normal, as natural.
But did you ever get cravings for junk food, Eli, at any point? Or are you like a cold turkey person when you decided this was the diet? You're just like, I'm done with all the processed food. Or early in your journey, did you have cravings, or did you have any transition at all? Or did you just go like cut out all this stuff?
I was a fairly cold turkey kind of guy. There was a little bit of a transition. There was a little bit of a transition, though, in the final step from a mostly raw and some cooked vegan, okay, to mostly fruit based raw foodist. So there was a little bit of a transition there, but not too much, and not one that was difficult mentally. It was more so, okay, I'll just get through all the lentils and the quinoa still in my, you know, in my pantry. I mean, those things aren't as offensive. I can live with just getting through those. But there are other things that just hard cold turkey. Like, I was never a big coffee drinker, so that wasn't in my life. I was never, I never drank alcohol. That was never a thing. So I didn't have to do anything there. Meat, that was definitely a thing in my upbringing. When it came time for me to give meat up, that was cold turkey, right? Stop from that day long ago. I've never relapsed once, right? Ever. Like, not even, no cravings, nothing, absolutely not. And so what makes the difference between people that do have a lengthier process giving meat up, which I don't know, maybe Alex, you guys, I think a lot of people have an easier time giving up meat than other things, like coffee, chocolate, cheese. Is that, yeah, you guys find
my weakness, Alex knows. I literally talk about cheese on like every call with Alex.
Yeah. Something about it is just,
it's blurry. Like crack.
I'm French, guys, so I got the chemical drug and the kind of cultural one. I hear you.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, meat, like many other people, was not as much of a thing for me. And yeah, and then the other stuff, the potatoes, the comfort food, the lentils, the quinoa, no, it wasn't really a challenge at all. Yeah, chocolate. I used to, do chocolate a lot. That was another cold turkey thing from the day I dropped it, several years ago. I don't think I have ever had any chocolate since. I don't think I've ever had any chocolate since. So yeah, most of these elements were just cold turkey, and it wasn't hard, and it wasn't hard because my mind was set straight, right? Like my it's it was your mind is your greatest weapon, right? And my motivations were very, very strong. I knew exactly what I didn't want in my health, in my future. And the idea that there were these elements of food that were coming in that were sitting there and clogging up and polluting, that imagery is just like, oh, it's so distasteful, so repugnant. I'm like, absolutely not, absolutely not. You're telling me that I'm going to eat, a rotting, piece of lamb ass, right? And that's going to be sitting in my tissues somewhere, like long after I've eaten it. Hell no. That vision, no. So like I just didn't want anything to do with that. And it's all the motivation I needed. Plus, once I actually started, the feeling was so good. So good. So it just felt so natural and effortless and easy, and just it just impossible for it not to be correct, right? As opposed to what I was doing before, all this type of food preparation. There's something so unbelievably correct about just opening up an orange and eating it, right? Cutting an apple, not even cake cut. You don't have to have anything to cut. Just bite into an apple, right? Eat it. Keep doing that until you're satisfied. There was something so natural about that that it was impossible to ignore, and the ease and simplicity it afforded my life after a week or two, there was no turning back, right? There was no turning back. Even during those one-off times during the last 8 years where curiosity gets the better of you and you just want to experiment and try different things, right? I have to be careful when I say this because people will definitely get the wrong idea. When I say I have had some cooked food in the past 8 years, we're talking about an experiment maybe, once in 2 years. Maybe another year goes by, maybe another cooked food experiment, right? Oh, I wonder what this fairly healthy thing tastes like, just so I have it in the just have it in the data bank so that I know I have another option to, that I can prepare for family, friends when they come. That kind of thing, right? The last time I had cooked food was maybe like 2 years ago, where I prepared a meal for a friend, and I just wanted to make sure that everything was right. So like I took a spoonful or two. I'm like, oh yeah, that's pretty good, and that was it, right? So I haven't been completely wrong, if you want to say that. But no, cooked food is not a part of my life. I gave that up. It's not coming back, and I feel fantastic about it. It was not hard to give up, just because the feeling of doing the right thing and eating like a natural diet, that was so good that you. I wouldn't want to return to the fake kind of pleasure in the mouth just for, just for that sake, at the expense of everything going on here. So yeah, no, I no, no not too many, no, not really cravings that were difficult or challenging to deal with. If cravings, not really. Not really. If I tell you about like treats or one-offs that I have, it's usually within the parameters of healthy food. So if I'm in the routine of having mono meals for whatever, several weeks, And if I do a treat or a one-off thing, it's still healthy food. It's like it's a big salad, right? With like some walnuts in it. Something that is very, very, very healthy for, you know, for most people. For me, feels like a bit of a departure. But yeah, that's I think the worst of it when it comes to when I make a change up from my regular fruit-based lifestyle. Yeah. If that answers your question.
Eli, what about salt intake? What's your opinion about that? Do you use lots of salt fruits like tomato, or do you?
Salt intake
as goes with these questions, with this question of sharing. So about salt, yes, because I'm very interested. I'm very interested in that.
Yeah. So
Eli is really physically active. So a lot of people, I would be curious about that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm also very active.
Yeah. So salt used to be part of a big part of my diet, right? Prior to 8 years ago when I made this final step, right? So yeah, it used to be, but no, once I gave that up, and even though it was okay, I should say this, even though it was fairly easy for me to quit my salt habit, right? I could feel that it was going to be a slightly longer period of adjustment when it came to how sensitive my actual taste buds were to food with no salt. That took some time. Like the first time I bit into a big salad with no salt, it was definitely different, right? And it did take a couple of repetitions of that before I was, oh, okay, I can taste the flavors again. So it did take a little bit of time for that to balance out, but in retrospect, I mean, not very, very long, not very long. So salt, like added additional salt, Celtic salt, Himalayan pink salt, all of those. Yeah, I used those quite a bit. But since that time, 8 years ago, when I cut that out, I still like tomatoes, right? I use tomatoes fairly often. I like things like okra. I don't use it as regularly, but yeah, I don't mind it. I go for the savory taste of non-sweet. Yeah, I'm not opposed to them, I should say. I definitely have the sweet variety and mild sweet variety of fruits and juicy fruits more often. Melons, blueberries, whatever it is. Oranges, pears, apples, mango, papaya, all of it. So I definitely have those more often. But every once in a while, yeah, I definitely don't mind at all. Maybe like a little savory bowl, tomatoes and some shepherd peppers, right? That's wonderful. If I do want some fats, tomato, shepherd pepper, and some avocado, right? If I want to add some vegetables to that, maybe throw some celery in that same bowl, right? So tomato, peppers, and celery. You know, very, very simple, very, very simple. But I do like savory. Yes, I do like savory. So I don't have any hang-ups about using tomatoes, peppers. What are the other ones? You know, zucchinis, okra, all that stuff.
Hey, Eli, I'm curious if you have a wife or a girlfriend, and how you're eating affects the relationship.
How it like changes things. It's fun. No, I don't have a wife or girlfriend right now. And I think that because it like when you want to see a certain set of values, like if you add, if you continually add to the values that you want to see show up in a partner, you are by default limiting yourself more and more and more and more and more, right? That's just common sense. I think everybody can understand how that works. If your criteria list is this long, right? Yeah, there's going to be less and less of the population that's going to fit all of those criteria. So it can start to be a bit more challenging. It just, I don't think it has to be more challenging, like because people sometimes getting onto a lifestyle like this, yeah, you are living in a way that's at odds with a lot of the social conventions that people use to meet each other and to, you know, well, to meet each other and to interact with one another. So yeah, so you're adding a little bit of a different dynamic in how you would access all of these social venues, right, in these social occasions. And it can make you a little bit of a I don't not outcast. Not that's not what I want to say. But you just it's just different. It's just different. So in terms of the dating world, it just depends on the person, right? There could be that person that really that just doesn't care as much, right? If the partner has, you know, a lot of additional criteria checked off in terms of how they live their life. So for some people, they might just be able to take care of themselves in the way that they see best, right? If we're talking about like a natural diet. And then yeah, the partner, as long as they're well adjusted, moral, you know, have at least, you know, some very, very desirable redeeming qualities, and maybe that's what matters, right? And then the dietary stuff is going to just fall where it does, and they can, you know, they'll be fine. So obviously I can't, so because I don't want to speak for other people, but in my life as it is now, no, it just hasn't come my way yet, right? That hasn't come my way yet. And you know, I'm willing to just keep doing being of service, doing what I can. And when, yeah, when those things happen, then they'll happen, right? So just kind of accepting what life has in store for me as the days go. But as of right now, no, I don't have a girlfriend.
Was that kind of a long way of saying that you think that your partner doesn't have to be like exactly fruitarian or raw vegan?
No, no, I don't think that
I
they
didn't mean
would.
you personally, by the way. I just meant like for relationships in general, because I know Alex
Oh,
brought up a lot of people struggle on it. Like if people worry about, well, if my partner isn't eating the exact same way, I can't do it, or my family, which is a big one that we always talk about.
it's probably best not to focus on that right away. If you're meeting someone that, okay, if you're meeting someone that you feel a good connection to, right? There's that connection that we all have sensed before, felt before. See where that goes first, and see what that does to your acceptance of that person. Because maybe that connection is strong enough that it starts to override and overwhelm any other considerations. And if that's the case, well, then you've met someone that you very, very, very well connect with, and maybe sticking with that person is the right thing to do, even if you have some of those differences, right? So it's probably good to just explore the person first, and you know, maybe get a sense of who they are outside of diet and whatnot. Sometimes it makes up, you know, sometimes it's more important. Other times, I don't know, it might not be, right? There might be other considerations that are worth exploring. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be that you would be looking for a person that does exactly what you do I think for most of us in this community, if we go into relationships like that, with that mindset, it's probably going to be really challenging for you to meet other people, right? Because most people are not there. So you would have to be willing to expect a certain amount of variation from what you do to someone else, right? You like just expect that, because it's very unlikely that you're going to find someone that's exactly on the same page. So you have to be willing to cut some slack, right? Make accommodations for other people. Not a perfect world, right? Not a perfect world.
Brian Mirabella is a fruitarian from New York, and he has a wife, and his wife is on a set diet, on a standard American diet.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
She's not even vegan or plant-based.
Yeah.
So it's possible, because when you love yourself, you also love the others, and you leave them to go their way, not your way.
Exactly, right? Exactly. You know, that love, when it's real and it's true, what it wants to do is it just wants to be there for the person. It wants to help them in any way they can. It wants to inspire that person. So what at whatever level they're at, you're just there to improve, right? To help them improve, to help them grow, right? I should say that, to help them grow, to help yourself grow, right? You're using relationship for the advantages it provides in allowing further conscious evolution. That's what we're doing with relationship. So wherever the person is at, if that love is very strong and it's true, then you're not gonna be mindful of, oh, you know, I don't like this and I don't like that. It's just gonna be like, no, that's that person right now, and I love who they are. Let's grow together, right? That's what the orientation would be. So when and if that person comes around, you have to be willing to expect that the right person might change how you feel about your checklist, right? Your criteria. Right? So that could very well happen. And that's great for Brian, that he is of a mind where he has that love, and he's just helping himself and his partner grow together. Like that's a beautiful thing.
I have another question.
Yeah, sure.
Is there any case where you wouldn't recommend high fruit diet? Maybe with but if someone wants to go there and to change the diet, but maybe candida or maybe something else, how do you relate those things together?
That's a really good question. Yes, there are. And many clients that I've worked with who have relayed a desire to go fruit all fruit. I would recommend against doing that right now at the current stage that they're at. Yeah, it's actually very infrequently that I do recommend a mostly fruit approach. Most of the time, that's not the advice I'm giving when I'm doing a consultation for people transitioning, right? For people that are transitioning or new into the game, right? I usually don't want to recommend that for many reasons, right? So you would start by just getting an idea of their background. Okay, all right, I need to know, what was your childhood like? What was your diet like? Did you have any conditions that you dealt with as a kid? Have any of those recurred into adulthood? What's your stress level like? Have you had any significant deaths in the family or familial loss or anything like that? Blah, 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 blah. This whole set of questions, right, that you would want to know. And then based on that, you get an idea of how encumbered or how challenged the internal chemistry is. And then based on that, then you can say, okay, you know what? It might be that mostly fruit is just gonna be a bit too aggressive right now. You kind of want to be a bit more gentle, you know, support the organs of elimination a bit more by not giving them an insurmountable task. Just bang right away. You want to be a bit more careful with it. So, yeah, the answer to your question is yes. It's actually more often than not that I'm recommending people have a bit more of a balanced approach within the parameters of natural human. I do not mean balanced as in a little bit of pizza, a little bit of coffee, a little, you know, and that's not what I'm talking about. Okay. So you can get that out of your mind. No. Balanced as in within the parameters of fruit, leafy greens, vegetables, and nuts and seeds, right? Most of the time, if people limit themselves to those parameters, right, that criteria of food, if you do nothing else but just limit yourself to that, I almost couldn't give a crap what you eat in what combination. I don't care, but stick to those parameters and live comfortably on those without any unnatural stimulants or other landmines of any, like processed foods, candies, stimulants, all that kind of stuff. If you can actually successfully leave all that behind, stick just with those parameters, right? Then that's what I'm happy to have a person that is transitioning do for X amount of time, a year, 2 years, whatever it is, right? So if you can do that, then what happens is that usually there's just a natural progression into the next evolution of that diet. But you can only reliably allow your natural senses and the natural reconfiguring of your body, you can only rely on that to unfold so that you get to the next level if you are living in the absence of all of those other, you know, pernicious influences. You can't, there's no moderation with those. I had a podcast that I was on just the other day where I said something similar. You can't moderate unnatural foods, right? There's no such thing as moderation in those. There's no moderation in, you know, there's no necessary moderation of cooked food. It doesn't help you. You'd want to stick to most, 100% what your natural diet is, and then magic just happens, and then you'll eventually transition slowly and slowly into maybe a more fruit-based lifestyle. But it's a shift. It would be a subtle shift that is almost imperceptible, right? As long as your diet is natural, then that shift happens a bit later on in the game, right? I don't think it's something that happens like right up front. Yeah, did that answer your question? Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah.
That was good feedback. And so intimidating sometimes when I watch you guys. So I really love, that was a great question, Zorko. Like for those of us who might just be tiptoeing this way, that we don't have to expect ourselves to literally just be like, all I eat is watermelon now.
Yeah. No. It doesn't need to be that. It does not need to be that, right? That's a developmental step that is going to unfold naturally if the person wants that, right? If that's in the cards for you, if that's what you'd like, right? Then it's important to remember to not intellectually make that transition in your head, right? Let everything as a community in your body make that decision for you together, right? Everything will work in harmony, and you'll feel when the right time is to slowly transition into doing to doing that. It's not something that you have to kind of like force. What you do have to force, okay? What you do want to use intellectual responsible regimenting is severing the connection between your attachment to unnatural things that hijack your system. That you want to put the foot down, right? And just be like, no, hell no, you just get that out, right? That's different though. But when we're talking about stuff that you're supposed to be eating and this and the ways that you're supposed to be living, yeah, now we can talk about slow moderation transition for as long as you bloody want, right? Because without, if you're not adulterating your body and your mind with pernicious influences, then it's just onward and upward and onward and upward. Right? It's just a constant slow creeping elevation upward, because that's what life does, right? That's what that inner flame does. It just always wants to improve and bring the best out of you. So if you never take a step back by hurting yourself, right, too much, then you'll always be improving. I should also say, when we do slip, when we do make a mistake here or there, that is also not, it's not, don't worry too much. Your body is very, 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 very good at dealing with your mistakes. I mean, if you just look at our past, you know, how we lived our lives before, it's very clear your body is very forgiving, very, very forgiving. So if now you're starting to adopt a healthier lifestyle, if the occasional thing comes up, just don't let it stress you out. Your body's going to very easily bounce back so long as you do your part and don't continue to hurt yourself, right? If you end up doing something that's unideal one day, fine, great, fine, right? Don't let it eat you up inside, because that doesn't serve you. If you go and have pizza and spaghetti all night and you're just lying prostrate, your belly's expanded out, you know, out several feet and you're drooling, okay, fine, that happens, but don't let it mentally upset your equanimity. Just jump back on the horse the next day and learn from that experience, right? Make sure you learn from that experience. Don't just let it bypass you, right? Let it sit in your mind, right? Let it fester, right? Examine it, right? Okay, I had that indulgence, but what happened? I felt like crap for the next 3 days, and I couldn't think properly. I was agitated. I was a bit more depressed. Okay, now just weigh this out. Like, let this sit in your mind, this experience, and juggle it around, and then really ask yourself if that's what you want in the subsequent days to come in your future. Right? The answer you might come up with is no. And so the odds that you would reproduce that behavior again start to become less and less and less likely as you increase the amount of days where you do the right thing day after day after day after day after day after day. After day. So it just gets easier and easier and easier to make fewer and fewer and fewer mistakes. And that's just the time and consistency. That's the magic, time and consistency.
Thanks, Eli. We'll get one more question. I see Zizi has his hand up, and then I'll wrap it up because I want to sure. Respect your time also, and we can have you any time again. Yeah. Sure. Thank you.
Anytime. You just let me know. You can, you know, I'll be happy to come and answer more questions.
I have two questions?
Yeah, of course, of course.
Oh, two questions. I don't know.
Eli, you said, okay, you have so healthy, your lifestyle is so healthy. Do you think you have also space for improvement? You could live even a healthier lifestyle? Is this a Bretarian world? Is it something else? What do you think about that?
How can you
go from there?
Right. Yes. Oh my God. If everybody has boatloads of room for improvement. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they say. I don't care what I say, right? You can just take for granted that I and everybody else has boatloads of improvement left to go. No, left to go. That's the wrong way to put it, because that assumes that there's a certain amount and then you're done. No, you will never actually be done self-improve, right? There's always better. There's always going to be closer and closer and closer and closer that you can come to that.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Yeah, absolutely, right? It's absolutely. So yes, to answer that question, yeah, of course, there's lots of things I can improve on. Little things, little personal things, personal weaknesses, you know, better organizational skills, better understanding of this particular field, get some more familiarity here, all sorts of stuff. Even with diet and physically, right? You know, I really, really, really enjoy this thing. I find I'm going to this more often. Let's see if I can temper that and control that a little bit more, and just have a bit more of an effortless type of relationship. Whatever. I don't even know. I'm just kind of hypothetically just saying a bunch of stuff right now. But yes, there's development in every avenue that there's still left to be, you know, left to be explored. So, yeah, no one's, if anyone says that they've got it all put together, they're lying. There's, you know, we all have lots of work. We all have lots of work. Even though I can confidently say that there are certain things, right? There are certain things that I feel that I've, gained immense control of in my life, right? Where I'm leagues ahead of where I used to. So there are some things that might sound arrogant, but that I've brought under very, very, very good control in my life. So and for that development, you know, I thank God, and I'm happy for them. And you want to respect the progress you've made by not stopping and keep improving and keep developing.
Thanks, Eli. And the last, very, very short, dry or water fest?
Oh, that's a tough question.
No, it's not so tough. What do you prefer? Yes. What's your better choice? What's your choice?
I also think it depends on the person, right? And where they're, like, what state they're in. I think that's a good consideration as well. Unless you're asking me personally,
I'm asking you personally. I'm asking you personally.
Oh, me personally. Okay, me personally. What I will tell you, and I think this is a similar answer that I give, is that I noticed that the most significant leaps in my development felt like they came after a dry fast. So it always felt like a dry fast just did something at a little bit of a deeper level to make some sort of reconfiguring change in my mind and in my body that allowed me to experience the next level of efficiency, right, on the other side of that. That's what I noticed. And so that's for me, that is important. I think I do water fasting or shorter water fasts. I think I do those more often, right, than I would do dry fast. Okay. So which one do I enjoy more? And that's hard to say, because I enjoy both of them equally. It's just that I use them at different times based on what I'm feeling and what I'm looking to do, right? Oh man, tough question. They're both very, very, very powerful tools. that if people learn how to use them correctly, you're going to be arming yourself with a level of vital force that is just going to make life a little bit more liberated and effortless, if I'm saying that correctly. Right? It just does something to your life that makes life a lot of fun. It improves the quality of your life, right? When you start chipping away at that kind of metabolic efficiency, and of course subsequently the effects it has on your mind, right? When these changes are set into motion.
Thanks. Thanks very
Yeah,
much.
hard question. Hard question.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Eli. And yeah, for people who want to join those calls, is the Q&As, you can be in touch. We have a community. We do them regularly. And I know we'll have you again soon, Eli. So I'll put links in the description to you, Eli, and to our FruitFit community also. Thank you, Zizi and Shari, for joining. And yeah, Eli, if you want to say like a couple of things before we finish, and thank you again.
Yeah, then we'll wrap it up there. Yeah, no, I appreciate it, guys. I really love coming out to discussions like this and just chatting about these types of things. I really hope that people give this some good thought, because it's hard to imagine what advantages something like this would give to your life until you actually start doing it, right? It's very, very difficult, because people don't know anything else besides how their whole eating lifestyle is structured. They don't know anything else, because that's just the pattern that we've been given. But I implore you, there is a different pattern, right? There are other patterns that you can explore, that your nervous system can habituate itself to, can acclimatize to, right? And this one is one that is low, replete with benefits, right, for your life in every avenue conceivable. Every avenue conceivable. This gives you advantages. And when you start to unlock some of those advantages, it's going to be hard to imagine how you didn't pick up on this the first time, or how you didn't pick up on it in your past, right? You're going to wish that you'd done this and explored this earlier. So I'll try to save you from some of the regret by encouraging you to jump on this as soon as you can, so that you have the maximum amount of time when you are living this type of lifestyle, and you'll see for yourself that there's some splendor here that you're really going to enjoy. So anyway, very lastly, I will say, kind of like we were talking about earlier, is start today, but don't rush to the end. That's not the point. You don't want to rush to the end. The end is There is no end, but your goals will show up as long as you do the right thing to start with. Get rid of some of the worst influences, and then the beauty of nature will take over, so long as you just do your part. Okay, so don't rush to any kind of arbitrary end goal. Just have some principles set out. Understand them, and then apply them to your life, and then just comfortably live, and you'll see them. Yeah, that's it.
Thanks, Eli.
That's
We
it
need
now.
to get you back to talk about fasting. I think that was that question at the end, like literally the last 60 seconds. Like, I got so many questions. So I totally think that, like, I'd love to do a deep dive, Zorko, on like more fasting, because it's kind of its own thing. Like, okay, the eating is a protocol, and I feel like the
Is.
fasting is its own protocol, you know? So I'll be curious about that one, Alex.
You know what I consider I okay, sorry, Alex, I won't drag this on. I consider fasting almost like the exercise the metabolic exercise portion of the eating lifestyle. So you have your eating and you have exercise, and you can do exercise in two ways, physically with your body, but there's also a whole world of exercise that happens when you're fasting, because it's this metabolic conditioning that is just strengthening you, strengthening you, strengthening you, right? It's just this incredible thing. So it's this whole sphere on its own, like you said, separate but not really separate from what you're eating, and the two of them working together in harmony, oh my goodness, like magic, like utter magic. But we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much, Eli. Thank you, Shari. Thank you, Zizi. Thank you, everyone who listened to the recording. Much love, guys.
Thank you, guys. God bless. Love you very much. See you next
time. Thank you.